Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Scott Moore, who is a regional director of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. And we're going to talk on the subject, really, of being sensitive to ascribing blame to the Jews for the death of Christ. Or put it this way, we'll talk about the Jewish context of the accusation against Jesus. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, we know historically bad things were done in the name of Jesus by professing Christians that did some bad things to the Jews, and they, you know, you killed Christ and so forth. So let's get right into it and help us so we make sure as believers in Jesus, we don't in any way put up artificial walls towards Jewish people who need to understand that Jesus is their own Messiah.
Well, that's well said, Jerry. I appreciate the way you framed that. I think looking at the historical context is the best way to begin. That is the historical context back in the days when Jesus was walking the earth and ministering among his people. And what I would suggest is that all of the events around his, shall we say, his ministry, making disciples, performing miracles, all of the events were in the context of Judaism and the Jewish people and the different sects of Judaism at the time. In other words, it was an internal issue as to whether or not this Jesus was a legitimate person or whether he was just causing trouble. And because it was a Jewish context, it means that all of the discussions and all the arguments against him were handled differently by the different sects in Judaism. And of course, a large number of Jewish people, not leaders, not rabbis, or what, they didn't have rabbis in those days, but those who were the Pharisees and the scribes and so on, but a large number of the people who were just normal, everyday people, Am Haaretz is what we call them, were followers of Jesus. And this is what actually troubled the Jewish leaders.
Hmm. Yeah, well, we know, for example, the 12 apostles were Jewish people. We know that all the early Christians, basically, if you want to call them Christians, of course, were believers in Jesus Christ. But you're right, the leadership didn't. Now, you said that the word rabbi wasn't used, and yet Mary Magdalene calls Jesus Rabboni, and, you know, after he rose from the dead, that term is there used sometimes.
It's not that it's not a word. It is a word. But the technical meaning, of course, is teacher. And so when she said Rabboni, she was saying my teacher or my master. It could be my master. When you had a synagogue or, you know, a collection of Jews who were praying or if they went to the temple, I mean, there weren't titles or positions that people would seek called rabbi as it is in today's society.
Okay. So anyway, the Jewish leaders, for the most part, rejected Jesus. And it seems that even to this present day, that same trend has continued. And, you know, and yet there's still many, many people who are believers in Jesus, even among Jewish people, even today.
Right. And there were believers among the Jewish leaders as well. We hear about Nicodemus and it says that there were others.
Joseph
of Arimathea. But the important thing to recognize, I think, here is that because it was an entirely Jewish context, it wasn't a Gentile issue. In fact, one of the reasons given in Scripture for why the Jewish leaders wanted to do away with Jesus was because they were afraid that if this became more popular, that the Romans would come and do something to them. Which, you know, they wanted to head that off. So they were trying to, you know, put an end to this before it got to be too big a deal.
Now, it's my understanding that the Romans, who subjugated Israel long before, that by AD 10, they took out of the power of the Jewish people the ability to, you know, to carry out a death penalty. So therefore, they had to, if they wanted to have somebody killed officially, such as the example of Jesus, they had to turn to the Romans to do that, and that's what happened with Pilate. Any comments on that?
It's exactly right, of course. I think you have accurately portrayed that, as I understand it. And that attempt to kill him was actually on the trumped up charge, you know, that he had claimed that he would, you know, destroy the temple, but in reality they believed that he claimed to be the Messiah, and they considered this to be blasphemy. Somebody claiming to be the Messiah would be blasphemous, because if they weren't really the Messiah, they were making themselves into something that they were not. And so the leaders within Judaism decided that the best thing to do would be to get rid of him. The trial that they held was technically illegal because of the way that it was conducted. It had legal ramifications, but it would not have been conducted under the strictest rules of Jewish halakha, the Jewish legal system. And because it was not, we have a good reason today to maybe even go back within Judaism and maybe set the record straight that was done improperly. But the point I'm trying to make, I guess the big thing with regard to the Jewish accusation against Jesus, is that it was an internal accusation. He was causing trouble. He was creating a problem potentially with the Romans. He was critical of some of the leadership, even though he was sympathetic to some of the leadership. And yet today, the situation is very different. And a lot of the accusations that come today are not coming from Jewish leadership, even though Jewish leaders have technically accepted the decision of the Sadducees back then. It's somewhat like it is in American jurisprudence, where we have a precedent and we accept that precedent and move on unless we decide to reverse it.
But it's also true, and in the big picture, that this was part of God's plan. This was foretold by Isaiah the prophet, writing about 750 years before Jesus. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. So amazingly, here were these people of the book, students of the Holy Bible, that were party to the death of Jesus Christ, and in so doing, they were fulfilling prophecies, because Jesus died for our sins. And the fact of the matter is, you know, who killed Jesus? Was it the Jews? Was it the Romans? No, I killed Jesus. You, Scott, you did it. Francis Schaeffer did it. D. James Kennedy was the guilty one. Mother Teresa, you know, was the one who was in charge. In other words, it's because of our sins that Jesus died. And so God used the circumstances and even the evil of men to bring about his greater will.
Well, I do believe what you are saying is true. Obviously, a lot of people, Jewish people, do not believe that Jesus died for sin. And it gets into the whole story of how can, you know, one person die for another person's sin. And we could get into the theology of that. I guess I'm more concerned today about the other question, and that is, you know, back in the Middle Ages, there were plays that were conducted by the church in those days that were called passion plays, conducted around Easter time, mm-hmm. to show the suffering and the death and crucifixion of Jesus. And unfortunately, the perspective on those passion plays was that the Jews killed Jesus, They accepted the responsibility for it. They took upon themselves supposedly a curse upon their on themselves and on their children, and that today anybody who is Jewish is guilty of killing Jesus. And back in the Middle Ages, the playgoers, the people who attended the theater, would actually leave the theater and go out and look for Jews to harass, persecute, sometimes kill.
Wow.
And this is why some people were concerned about, you know, the film that Mel Gibson did recently. They were concerned because it triggers a lot of those historical memories and causes people to wonder, you know, what is the net result going to be when people leave this movie? Are they going to see Jews as having killed Jesus? And
after that movie, there were no pogroms, there were no anti-Semitism, you know, not that I know of.
I realize that there were not, and I actually applaud Mel Gibson for many of the ways in which he did set that whole scene in its historical context. I had a very mild criticism of Mel Gibson, only that I think he could have helped set the record straight by also showing that this was a Jewish conflict and it was not something where the Jews did something to the Gentiles' Messiah, the Gentiles' Christ. In other words, this wasn't the Jews attacking a Gentile. This was Jews disputing with a Jew and with his followers, and everything was done in a Jewish context. In fact, Gentiles weren't even part of the original body of Christ, or
right,
body of Messiah, for to use the term. They weren't a part of that original body, and they were added later and told that, yes, they could be a part of the body of Messiah, and would not have to convert to Judaism in order to join. And today, the situation is, you know, very, very different. And because the cultural situation is so different, a lot of people miss that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think it is important for Christians, modern-day Christians, to understand that during the Christian era, unfortunately, there was a lot of anti-Semitism in the name of Christ, and there's baggage, therefore. So when trying to deal with a Jewish person and lead them to Christ, you know, we're thinking, shucks, if I had been around living, let's say, in the Netherlands, like the 50,000 or so it was Christians, mostly Christian people, Gentiles, who hid Jews, that's what I would like to be remembered for, not those apathetic so-called Christians who did nothing when the Holocaust was beginning. And so we need to be sensitive to these things. We need to be sensitive to the anti-Semitism, because it just, as I said before, it just closes a door that ought not to be closed, because Jesus is Jewish, and he came for the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. We have less than a minute to go. What do you want to say in closing?
Well, I'll take a few seconds to just say, Romans 11, Paul warns Gentile Christians not to become prideful or haughty. He says, yes, it's true, you believed, and they natural branches were broken off, but don't be prideful, because he's also able to break you off. He says, but he's also able to graft back in those natural branches, and this is life from the dead. So I think one of the mistakes that has been made is that some people become prideful about their faith,
yes,
in Jesus, and forget that they are grafted in even to a natural olive tree, the Jewish olive tree.
And we could add to that that you are really not understanding Jesus very well if you don't understand the Jewish context in which he came, all the different ceremonial laws that he fulfilled once and there for all when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, the scriptures he fulfilled. You know, as Edith Schaefer once said, Christianity is Jewish. Scott Moore has been our guest. He's a regional director of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. And for more information, you can look at the website at umjc.org. Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. God bless.